Good afternoon. I'll call to order the meeting of the State Government Budget Division for Wednesday, March 14, 2007. A quorum is present. We're going to be first putting together a state government budget bill, that is the ongoing money. Then after we get done we'll make our recommendations for a separate bill for one-time budget recommendations. If we could pass out the sheet to the members and to the public. I described the other day some initial proposals. We've worked on the some of the numbers since then. We have a base budget for this budget division, fiscal year 08 and 09, of $549,122,000. In 10 and 11 is $551,010,000. That's the base. We were assigned, as people are aware, a target of a negative $10 million. Yeah, just this will be done in orderly manner. Just don't everybody freak out. You'll all get copies. Some other ones will be brought to the other side. Just be calm. With the $10 million and over $300 million worth of requests, we have some challenges. Now, the Department of Revenue has indicated that if we spend about $10 million in 08-09 and about $11 million in 10-11, we can, for tax compliance, that puts us deeper in the hole. However, it nets us $51 million in 08-09 and $60 million in 10-11. That's what revenue is booked. So by relying upon those numbers, if we put money in tax compliance, that brings us into the black. As I've already indicated, the governor initially proposed a 3.25% salary supplement. He proposed 2% for each year. The guidance from the Senate Finance Committee is to go with the 3.25% number, and that's going to be all the budget divisions. So, as I say, we don't operate in a vacuum in this budget division. If we went with 2%, we could send a bill out that way, but in the Finance Committee that might be adjusted, which also adjusts the other numbers as well, too. So we have to be cognizant of that. If we do the salary supplement after we get the tax compliance, and given the target that we've got, we have roughly $4.8 million of spending in 08, 5.8 in 09, and then looking in the out years, 5.8 in 10, 5.8 in 11. So that isn't a lot to do with. I had some proposals the other day. They've been somewhat modified. I'll review them as we had it. I've increased the number for the Senate, and I don't want this to be looking like we're feathering the Senate's nest here, but there are plenty of folks that can advocate for their own programs. The governors can certainly, as we're going through this process, certainly talk to the legislative leaders in both bodies, try to work out where his priorities are, what he will accept and what he will not accept. There's nobody who's going to advocate for the Senate except for the Senate. So that job falls to this budget division. And so if anybody's now, and frankly, we have fallen way behind in our technology. We allowed every other branch of government and everybody else to get ahead of us simply because we did not make investments early on. We just didn't do it. And we've got a lot of catching up to do, and we're paying the price for it. So we need to put some money in there, as well as into the salary supplement, so we're covered by everybody else. And that's basically where the $2 million per year is going.
So, Mr. Chair, so the 3.25% for staff is included in the Senate?
Well, that's over and above. The 3.25% is already booked for everybody early on. Okay. The Senate needs about $2 million a year. They also be interested in some one-time money, but to get over the hump and do the things that they need to do, they feel that they need this amount here, plus the salary supplement, maybe some one-time money. That's what they're looking at.
Thank you.
And the legislative auditor, Senator Rest had a bill that the legislative auditor has to audit four different entities. They have to pay money for the audit into the general fund. They don't pay it to the legislative auditor. The Senator Rest had a bill where they pay the money directly to the legislative auditor, although the auditor was concerned about making it look like the more we audit, the more money we get. It's probably a cleaner way just to pull the money out of the general fund to the legislative auditor, since the money's being paid in the general fund anyway. Just use the money, instead of having the fee paid to the auditor, have the fee still paid to the general fund, and give the money from the general fund to the auditor. Legislative coordinator,
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
On the Senate's budget, do we have something in the Senate's budget that's designated for continuing education?
We had a handout, and I guess we can probably come up with it again. When Mr. Flavin was here, we can make a copy of this is what was handed to us, the Senate budget proposals. I'll have that handed out. We'll have that copy to hand out to you.
All right.
The Legislative Coordinating Commission had a request for about $1 million. This is not $1 million. This is about a quarter of that. And we're not designating how it's to be spent, but this is something that's going to have to be negotiated with the other body, because obviously they fall under the purview of the LCC as well, too. I did have a proposal the other day for the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board. They were turned from a full-time agency to a part-time agency. This puts them back to being a full-time agency. LIMIC, we had a significant discussions on LIMIC. The governor did not put money into there. This puts them back to what their request was. The census is coming. We have to do the census. Minnesota stands to lose a congressional seat, but we need to have as best as count as we can. I do have two savings items that we did not discuss the other day. It's my understanding that there's one deputy commissioner position in the Department of Administration that is not filled. This, if we eliminate that position, that nets us $245,000 for the next biennium. We had talked about the merger of the Department of Employee Relations into the Department of Administration. Senator, we already passed a bill out from Senator Rust to do that. That was effective July of 2008. The only savings that were identified in there was the one position from the commissioner. However, they wanted to protect seven positions of the classified service, which is fine. We can accept that. But that still leaves a couple of positions, I believe three positions of unclassified, that if you're eliminating the department and you're going to have these savings, why it's necessary to have these additional three people. So if we move up the date, and you know, again, it's a relatively small agency, if we move up the date of the effective date to January of 2008 and eliminate the additional positions, that gives a savings in the next biennium of $500,000. The state auditor did have a request for funds for staff retention, that is to keep some of the auditors that the state auditor has. By some of the audits that they do on the audit fees and the pension aids, that helps pay for it. Mr. Lundin described this the other day. He can go, and the information at the bottom of the page is more detailed on that. As I said, this is quite similar to what we discussed on Monday. And given this does meet the target that I've been given, or that we have been given. So I'm throwing it out there for consideration by the Budget Division to see what your thoughts are, what you want to do with it. Obviously, if you don't like something... Oh, and I didn't mention IT security. I skipped over that one. They want at least $7 million for security. I've got money in for $3 million. I don't know if that could do the job or not, but you know, they say we ran out of bucks at some point. So that is kind of where we're at. And discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
Under the state auditor, they also have the 3.2% compensation increase.
Yes.
So they are not included in the base up on top?
Mr. Lundin, they are, but yeah.
Yeah, they are included in the base on top. This down on the bottom was because of the comp increase they were getting, there would also be some audit fee offsets and some of the pension aid offsets. So I asked them to figure that out for the comp and then for their additional request for the audit retention. And so that nets out, I mean, the bottom line about the amount of money that we have to, new money we have to provide is $310 after the revenues are taken off of that.
Further discussion or questions? Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chair, I wanted to raise an issue related to the Amateur Sports Commission, of which I recently had served as a member of, and no longer. And as members may recall, I had brought a bill this year to increase their funding to $367 in each year of the biennium to add a position. Unfortunately, with the way the governor's budget was drawn, and because there was some hope that there'd be the ability to draw on lease payments from the new deal at the National Sports Center, the base number is 210 in 08 and 215 in 09. Without that agreement in place, the net effect is that is a cut, and unfortunately would have to result in a reduction in staff and so I would, when the time's appropriate, would like to make a motion, Mr. Chair, if we're moving to amend this spreadsheet or.
Sure. Well, are there any further questions on the sheet that we've got before us? If not, we can look at your issue, Senator Larson. Doesn't appear to be any other questions, Senator Larson. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so I would, it really, for us to, for us to, make the Amateur Sports Commission whole as it relates to their current funding situation, it requires $90,000 in 08 and $85,000 in 09. And I would move that we add that amount, those amounts. It's never easy deciding where we take those from. I propose that we do that small subtraction from OETIC. IT security, and would appreciate your support.
So you want to, for the Amateur Sports Commission, have what, $90,000 in 08? Did you just say 80 in 09? Is that?
It's 85 in 09.
85 in 09.
Maybe we.
And I don't know what the out years show, but presumably there'd have to be the appropriate 85. Adjustments. Mr. Lundy, 85?
Yeah, we'd carry the 85 forward.
85 in the next two. And what were they going to be doing with this? They were going to hire an next person or something?
Well, no, Mr. Chair. Actually, in my bill, I had actually asked for an additional amount,
right,
more than that, to add a new position.
Oh, right.
But
okay.
We understand that given our budget circumstances,
right,
we won't be able to add a new position.
Okay.
By just adopting the base, what the net effect of that is we'd actually have to cut a position and go from three staff down to two. And it's my hope that we can avoid that with a small adjustment. And yet also knowing that as the lease agreement comes online, not with the ability to predict when that will be, but we're, you know, guessing in the next several months, ultimately the governor's budget will actually pick up these costs, and you know the costs may not go through the entire biennium because that lease agreement will provide funding to the commission. But without us acting, because that lease agreement is not in place, it will result in a cut.
Mr. Chair,
Sir Roebling,
could we not assume that the lease agreement will be done by the end of the 08 fiscal year and not bother with the 09?
Mr. Chair and
Mr. Larson.
Senator Roebling, one would think that could be the case, I think that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason we're kind of in this circumstance now, is that some assumptions were made about the ability to execute the deal, and I don't know what the factors are that delay that big a lease agreement, and so I don't know. While they anticipate the next several months, I think it's difficult to know for sure.
Well, Senator Larson, if we're going to do it, we should probably just do it for 08 and 09 and not do it in the tails, that is, not for the next biennium, because I don't think we would need to do it for the next biennium. So.
Well, I think that's probably true, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I think difficult to know if
right.
by the end of 08, but certainly by the end of the biennium.
Okay, so it would only be for 08 and 09.
Correct.
Senator Roblin.
I think it could just be for 08. It would give them good incentive to get the lease agreement done sooner.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, that's been a I've sort of debated with myself a little about that. Do we want to provide pressure for them to get that done? On the one hand, perhaps. On the other hand, if time is required for them to get the right deal, I sort of struggle with that. You know, are we putting them in a circumstance where they feel like they have to hurry something and perhaps not have as good a deal? That's one of the concerns that I would have with that.
Mr. Chair, it's still a year and 4 months away or so before the end of that fiscal year. So that's why I'm thinking that sounds like a lot of time because they've been working on it a long time already.
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, that's true. I feel more comfortable with, you know, it's one can't predict what happens next year if, in fact, that's not done. And what is a fairly small agency, and what I think are, you know, fairly small numbers. I think it'd be safer for us to do 08-09 and not do the tails.
General Sean.
If we were to fund it for 2 years and the deal is wrapped up within one, is the other funds just a carryover or?
Well, presumably, next year in the next legislative session, there'll be some minor budget adjustments for this biennium. So, if we know that there's something that's changed, that would be reflected in next year. We're not just going to do this and forget about it for 2 years. So, there'll be differences. You know, maybe to the better, maybe to the worse, but there will be differences next year. Well, there are always changes that'll come about that we'll know about next year. So. Okay. Mr. Bonner, do we have some language to do with this? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's appropriate to point out now there was an oversight in omitting some language. It's a slightly different version of what was in the governor's bill. But there was a rider proposed that would reduce the amount of money available for appropriation to the Amateur Sports Commission from the lease revenues by the amount of the general fund appropriations in this bill. So that maybe should be part of the context of this discussion. I do have that language available, and we can distribute.
Is that something we want to have passed out here?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we pass that out and take a look at it? Okay, thank you. Well, wait a minute until we get it passed out, then we can maybe describe a little closer what this is saying. It's
provide a little more detail.
Sure, yeah. Once they get the amendment before them, why don't you describe it? Okay, Mr. Bodern, please proceed.
So, Mr. Chairman, this would be a rider that would fit into the bill directly after the appropriation to the Amateur Sports Commission. And what it would do is basically so there. You see the lengthy reference to session laws here, and that's basically what we call the lease revenue, and that the existing language says that up to $300,000 of the lease revenue is appropriated to the Amateur Sports Commission, and that's by law. Anything beyond that would be deposited in the general fund, and what this rider does basically would prevent kind of a double counting, I suppose, and says to the extent that. It's reducing the amount of that statutory appropriation, I think we can call it, by the amount that's appropriated in the bill, the base appropriations to the amateur sports commissions. So it just seemed appropriate to consider it in the context of this discussion as well. That would play into any addition you made to the appropriation for the amateur sports commission that would be included within this rider as well.
So Senator Larson's motion to increase the amount of the Amateur Sports Commission and to delete the amount from the security. I mean, are these things can be, are they mutually exclusive? Do they have to be done together? I guess I'm not following that point.
They do not necessarily need to be done together, Mr. Chairman, but okay. It seemed to me that it's important to realize the additional appropriation that Senator Larson is proposing would not be over and above the $300,000 cap on that lease revenue.
Sure. Okay.
And Mr. Chair, that's my intention.
Okay. So are you moving both the A2 amendment as well as the language that, you know, just an increase to the appropriation?
We should do the A2 in any event.
Yeah, we should do the A2 in any event is what you're suggesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Well, Mr. Chair, would it make sense for me to incorporate the money changes in the A2 amendment? Can I do that? And move
maybe
the A2 amendment?
The A2 first.
Why don't we, apparently.
Separately?
Yeah, why don't we just act on that? I mean, you could do that, but if somebody moves to divide it, then it's divisible. So yeah. Why don't we move the A2 amendment and then deal with the appropriation part then? Senator Larson moves the A2 amendment. Is there a discussion on the A2 amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. Senator Larson, you are moving then for the Amateur Sports Commission $90,000 in 08 and $85,000 in 09, and to decrease the OET IT security amount by like amount. Is that what your motion is?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on that motion? Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, the one concern I do have is when you expressed whether or not even in if the $3 million a year is adequate for the IT security, I appreciate the money found in closing Duer, but I'm also thinking, is it worth it to close it if we're only gaining that kind of $750,000 is what it looks like to me. Is there more dollars available from closing that department? I suspect you guys have looked everywhere, but.
Well, the fiscal note for the Duer merger only showed one position. So, you know, I had to work with the fiscal analysts, and, you know, they had to come up with what they had. But, you know, I think there's more to be had. I mean, if it's such a great idea and we're only in one position, why are we doing it? Okay. But we were told that there are seven employees that are going to in the classified service who are not going to be laid off. We'll respect that. There was one commissioner position that's being eliminated, but there's still about three, I believe, that are unaccounted for. And where are they going? What are they doing? And so I think that's, you know, we had to do some interpretation here because the fiscal note didn't reflect that. We'll see.
Is it your belief then that there's still maybe up to three of those commissioner type salaries that?
Well, that's what we're booking here.
Okay, that's where the hat. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we got here. Discussion on Senator Larson's motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Is there further discussion on the target numbers as we have before us here?
Well, Mr. Chair, did I understand it correctly that you're going to do a one-time money later? Is that correct?
Yes. That will be the next item. This is the ongoing money that we're talking about here. The one time is coming up.
Okay, so we'll get a different bill.
Well, there'll be two separate bills, right. Mr. Lindeen?
Yes, yesterday, or I guess on Monday, we approved the base budget, and we didn't make any changes to public television, but I've talked to the lobbyist for public television, and they wanted to switch the base dollars around. We give some money to equipment grants and some to the matching grants base. Currently, the equipment grants, it's $398,000 a year, and the matching grants are $963,000 a year. And the request was to kind of put more money into the matching grants, to have $1,160,000 into the matching grants and then $200,000 into the equipment grants. So it would still be the same total dollar amount, $1,361,000 a year, but it's just changing the distribution.
And Mr. Landine, where can we find that in the bill?
I don't know if it's in the bill. We've got...
Yeah, we don't.
One of the earlier spreadsheets, which maybe, is it still in your package there?
I think we have some new ones
we
can hand out.
But these are currently things they're doing. They just want to adjust the numbers within the public broadcasting area.
Is it this one?
Yeah. It's on page, what is it?
I'm not sure if these pages will line up. With this new one that you're getting, it would be on page three.
Okay.
And public broadcasting is within the Department of Administration budget.
Where am I?
Page four. Line 412.
412. 412. And now that we've got the budget tracking before us, again, could you identify which lines we're looking at? It says equipment grants base and matching grants base. So yeah. There's two items, both on grants, and apparently we're going to be adjusting the numbers.
Yeah. The request was to move more dollars into the matching grants out of the equipment grants base. So it would leave $200,000 a year in equipment grants, and then moving down into the matching grants, it would be $1,160,000 a year.
If Senator Quibley, would you like additional testimony on that or something? This is a new issue, so.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. I guess I was just looking at, some of the new digital stuff that they were needing to do, but I think that would be more appropriate to talk about under one-time money.
Sure.
But I think, this is fine. If that's fine with the industry, I think we should go with what they want.
Is there anyone who's got any concerns about doing this? This is a bit of a change from what we've already adopted, so I do want to open this up if somebody wants to address it. Senator Robley.
Why are we doing it? I mean, what's the benefit to them to having more in the matching grants? Is it easier to raise even more money for them?
I think Mr. Straczynski, is he here? Who's got this? Mr. Taylor, could you address that?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I cannot. Mr. Straczynski had to step out to take a phone call, and I'm getting him right now.
Yep. Well, we can set it aside until he gets back in. Why don't we do that? We'll just set it aside. Mr. Lundeen and Mr. Bodner, is there other things we have to look at and address in preparing our bill here?
I'll walk through the language in the bill.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Bodner, why don't you just, we've got a draft bill here. Why don't you just kind of walk through and explain what's in here so we know what would be in here.
Chairman and members, looking at the document labeled SC5486-2, I'll just start up on page 2, and I'll move very quickly through the riders. Almost everything you see here reflects either what is carried from biennium to biennium or what was in the governor's bill. And that would certainly be true for the appropriations to the legislature and the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Then on page 3, there's language that's carried that has been carried in the past requiring reports on the use of appropriations or funds in the governor's office that were supported by appropriations to other agencies. Moving to page 4, you'll see on line 4.21, there's the rider for the IT security under the Office of Enterprise Technology. Pretty much everything you see on page 5 for the Department of Administration is what's been carried in the past, with the exception of the items under subdivision 3, line 5.11. There's money for the 2010 census and adjustments made to the base in the outgoing years, and then money for the Land Management Information Center. Moving to page 6, these are riders that have been used in the past to appropriate money for public television. Nothing new on page 7. The same language has been used in the past that you see on line 7.20 for the tax collection, the enhanced the revenue enhancements through increased tax enforcement. Page 8 also contains riders that have been used in the past requiring reports on tax non-compliance. And nothing new under gambling control or racing commission. You'll see on page 9, actually, under the racing commission, paragraph B appropriates money from the racing and card playing regulation account for information technology improvements. And everything that you see on pages 9 and 10 all the way through 11 is standard language that's been used to make those appropriations in the past, with the exception that under the retirement funds, there's now the appropriation that was made in the past for the Minneapolis Teachers Retirement Fund is incorporated within the Teachers Retirement Association. And those riders are basically to reflect what would already happen under law, as I understand it. At the bottom of page 11, you'll see section 31. That reserves a portion of the appropriations to each agency for a 3.25% compensation increase, compounded at 3.25% for the second year, and that would apply to all of the agency appropriations, general fund agency appropriations in the bill. Then on page 12, Article 2 and the statutory provisions begin. At the top of page 12, section 1 there is language that was requested by the CAP board that basically provides them with a statutory appropriation of monies they collect from agencies that are subject to their review process. Section 2 is language that was in the governor's bill, removing an obsolete reference to the Enter Technologies Division. Section 3 reduces the authorization for the Commissioner of Administration to employ deputy commissioners from 2 to 1. Section 4 is the domestic partner benefits language that was in Senator Pappas's bill. And Section 5 reduces the authorization for the Commissioner of Employee Relations to basically what was in law allows two deputy commissioners, one for each of the bureaus described in this section, and this would remove the authorization for each bureau to have a deputy commissioner. Section 6 is also part of, that was part of Senator Pappas' State Employee Domestic Partner Benefits Bill, and just basically says that if the collective bargaining agreement provides health insurance for spouses, the insurance must also be made available to domestic partners as defined in the bill. Then at the bottom of page 13, and the new text is shown on the top of page 14, it's a requirement for the Commissioner of Revenue to disclose individual income tax return information to Department of Finance for preparation of revenue forecast purposes. Then on page 14, this is the language abolishing the Department of Employee Relations that was in Senator Rest Bill. It's identical save for the dates that are contained in there. This begins January 1st, 2008. That is reflected on the spreadsheet as well. At the bottom of page 14 is the electronic data study and report that was a bill authored by the chairman, and this contains the version that the committee recommended for inclusion in this bill when that was heard. At the bottom of page 15 is language. Mr. Hubinger from the Legislative Coordinating Commission recommended this on their behalf, and it basically applies. It's a voluntary unpaid leave of absence provision. This has been used in the past in identical form, and the State Government Policy Committee passed Senator Michelle's bill separately that also contains that language. Then on page 16, there's section 11 is a revisor's instruction related to the Department of Employee Relations abolishment. The final item on page 16 is a repealer that was in the governor's bill. I believe that's the I'm forgetting the exact name for it. It was a genetic information working group that was not funded.
Other questions? This is a draft bill. Sir Cooley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bodden, I guess, under the summary of appropriations on line 115, you've got the health care access fund. I guess I thought that generated its own income, so why do we need an appropriation for that, or is that just, there for...
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kubley, that is a base level appropriation that's been carried. As I understand it, it has to do with legislative employees that handle that deal with health care issues. That's been done in the past. Mr. Lundeen may have more information on that, but you'll notice there's a portion of the legislative appropriation that comes from the Health Care Access Fund as well.
Mr. Lundeen, anything further?
Yeah, no, it's an appropriation to the LCC for the Health Care Commission.
Oh, I see.
For the dollars.
Okay. So it isn't actually used to dispense benefits?
No.
Senator Olsen, on the bill draft.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, on page 12.26 under appointments, is there been calculated what the fiscal impact of the one deputy? If that is there cost savings, has that already been accounted?
That was shown on the spreadsheet. Mr. Lundeen.
Yes, the spreadsheet that you were handed out does reflect that. If you look under admin, deputy commissioner eliminated, and it's $123,000 a year.
Terrible scene.
Well, what about all these other departments where, you know, we got flow charts from the directors where, you know, there's deputy, assistant deputy, you know, almost like a school board.
Well, Senator Olsen, in going down the agencies that we could probably affect here, it would only be admin, the Minister of Department of Administration, DOER, which is being eliminated. I don't know that we can do anything about, say, finance or revenue, but going into the other agencies and dealing with them is not something that this budget division will have jurisdiction over. Because I can't go into the Department of Transportation, say, and in my area here, do something on them. Now, that is an appropriate question that can be raised at the Finance Committee level because they cross jurisdictions of all the budget divisions. But we can only deal with the agencies that we have jurisdiction over, and this is the only one that I could determine, you know, was something we might be able to look at. But there are others, but that's not appropriate for this budget division to be doing.
Thank you.
Let me also note, Senator Coolby was just asking a question. There are issues relating to the Secretary of State's office, and you do have a letter from them. We're not going to be taking action today on this. We are still going to have some meetings next week. And there is a separate bill that we can look at for funding the Secretary of State's office, some of their initiatives, some fees and some things like that. And what we will do next week is look at their issues and to the extent that we adopt them or whatever we do with them, that package will then go to the Finance Committee. And it's my intention that we'll take whatever passes out of this budget division and amend that into this bill in the Finance Committee. But, you know, we're just not ready to move ahead on their requests yet. There's some more work to be done. So they're going to hold off on what that is. You'll be hearing some more of that next week. But so to the extent that anybody's had an interest in the Secretary of State's budget, that's we're deferring that discussion at this moment. But next week we have to make decisions. Other questions on the proposed bill? I do see Mr. Straczynski. Is he back again, or did he leave again?
He's out in the hall with Senator Coobley, right?
I think he may want to be in here. Mr. Straczynski, could you identify yourself for the record? We had some questions regarding the proposal to change the grant funding. It doesn't affect our bottom line. It doesn't affect the grant distribution. Could you describe what's going on here?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bill Straczynski, and I represent Minnesota Public Television Association. Yes, we've asked that the monies be reallocated in the base budget. It was actually a technical mistake, I think, that happened last biennium, but here's what happens to us. Before we get those matching grant dollars, we have to raise money locally, and this gives us a better opportunity to raise more money locally for those dollars. And we can spend matching grant dollars to purchase some station needs equipment if we have to. That's okay. But we can't do the opposite. We cannot take equipment dollars and purchase and use it for match and use it for operations. So we respectfully request of the committee to make that change in our base numbers. That more reflects what it was two bienniums ago.
Any questions of Mr. Straczynski? Okay. Mr. Lundeen had suggested the change. Does anybody want to have that read to him again, or is somebody wish to make a motion to make that switch in the granting funds?
I'll make that motion.
Senator Olsen moves that in the public broadcasting area, the equipment grant space and the matching grant space be adjusted in the numbers as reflected and read by Mr. Lundeen. There's further discussion on that motion. Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Straczynski. Sarah Robley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a specific amendment, although I'm thinking maybe we should. When we're talking about the Senate technology and things like that, I wonder, should this committee be giving direction that those systems have to be integrated and compatible with the House system, and that we share technology as much as possible and similar systems, for example? I don't understand why it doesn't happen, except each body has liked to be distinct and distinguished. But I think for efficiency and economy, we should be looking at that. And I don't know if we need to give that direction or if we have an internal mechanism to do that or how it should be handled.
I don't know. I don't see anybody from the Senate front office here. Do we have any? Is there anybody on?
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner. I'm sorry. Somebody here who can discuss that? Mr. Greenwald? Yeah, Mr. Greenwald, could you, are you in a position as?
Yeah, Jim Greenwald, Director of Information Systems.
You need to get to a microphone because these things are taped and people can only hear that. It's a broadcasting thing.
Jim Greenwald, Director of Information Systems for the Senate. We did do a study, I'm not trying to think, it might be 4 years ago, between the House and the Senate to look at any joint ventures that might be useful and provide this type of savings, including library services, research services, technical services, publications. I'm not sure if the LCC was involved in that or not. I know Mr. Todd from the House Research Office directed this, and at that time, in all cases, they felt that there really was no savings at this time in doing that sort of thing. We really didn't create a savings, but we did reduce the ability of each body to sort of do their own thing. So at that time, that was dismissed.
Sure, maybe they do need direction. Maybe they do need direction in the bill. I think that maybe there's not going to be a lot of cost savings, but there has to be some efficiencies and, mm-hmm. and some conveniences even for the public accessing different systems. Yeah, blood pressure going down, as Senator Rest says. I don't know. We each have our own proud tradition. I realize that, but I think that the public looks at us as one system, as the legislature, and to be operating in two often distinct ways is not in their best interest, perhaps, even if we think it's in ours.
It doesn't strike me that is, there could be some cost savings in it. We don't know what they are, but if you, I recognize you may not have the language here today to do it, but there's certainly time if by the time, they say, the bill gets to the floor, which will be by the end of March, if you've got some proposals you want to bring up, I'll certainly say that, you did raise those issues in the budget division, and if the Senate thinks that that's something we ought to be looking at, maybe that's something you want to. Because I recognize, since you're not on the Finance Committee, the next stop, your chance will be on the floor. But you have persistently, raised those good, very good questions, and I think that, if you've got some proposals on the floor, maybe that's the time to offer an amendment. It doesn't cost anything to do that, but if you're suggesting that we explore those areas, maybe we should have that debate before the full Senate. But get working on it soon, because these things are going to start taking a life of its own quickly. Senator John Bauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 13, I see we're creating a class for domestic partner, and we're mandating the insurance, health insurance for domestic partners. Did we determine if that has any budget implications in our division here for sure?
During Senator Pappas and Joe Bauer, during her discussion on it, Mr. Lundeen did talk about some cost to the insurance fund, I believe, but no direct cost. Mr. Lundeen, could you refresh your memories on that?
Yeah, there would be a cost to the State Employee Insurance Group Fund, which is funded by both employees and employers through the premiums. So it would be, whatever funds are being paid salaries out of that, somebody would take advantage of this. So there isn't a direct cost. It would be coming out of the operating, budgets of agencies, just as they're paying the insurance premiums for other employees. And that's how the money would then get to the CGIP fund, and if there's an additional cost to the CGIP fund. But it would not reflect the money that we're appropriating here out of the general fund.
To drug bar.
Okay, then Mr. Chair, since we're creating some new legal definitions and things, would this have to go to other committees like judicial? And other things are only if they request.
Senator Jungbauer, it went through the Policy Committee, the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee, before it came here. I'm not aware that it had to go to. It went to the Policy Committee before it got to the Senate Finance Committee, which is the normal process. So if anybody else wanted to see it, I'm not aware that they requested it. I'm not the author of the bill, Senator Pappas's.
Mr. Chairman, it was in my committee, and we had no other requests from other committee chairs.
Okay.
Or we would have sent it to other policy committees before finance.
Okay. And then it was voted on a roll call vote to put in the bill here. Further, yes, I see, you want to come forward? Okay. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Jared Jordahl with the Department of Employee Relations.
Orna Smith, also with the Department of Employee Relations.
We just wanted to make the committee aware that the House File, the PAPUS initiative with domestic partners, we are in the process of finalizing a fiscal note, and that does have a cost.
Okay. We don't have it today, but presumably it will be available for the Finance Committee when this bill gets there. So,
yes.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roebling.
As long as they're up there, yeah. I just would maybe like to have them comment on the proposal in our budget to eliminate a few unclassified positions as that department is folded.
Okay.
We haven't really heard anything from them. We only heard that the commissioner's position would be eliminated.
That's true.
And I'm still wondering, what these positions are and where they were proposed to go and what services they provide before we would take them out.
Does somebody wish to comment on that?
Ms. Smith. Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, we don't have the list in front of us, so I'm going to go from my memory who was on that list. One of the positions was the Deputy Commissioner for Labor Relations. He is the individual who negotiates the state labor contracts. That is a position that we are very clear that we will still need in the future. A second position on that list was the Assistant Commissioner for Agency Operations. At this point, it's unclear whether that position will be needed. We're thinking that likely someone at that level will still be required to supervise many of the same departments or units within DOOR that they are. But because it hasn't been finalized, there wasn't a clear understanding of how lower-level divisions of labor will work when we merge into the other agencies, that hasn't been worked out yet. Two other individuals on that list are unclassified employees, but they were authorized during the last legislative session as part of the Healthcare Improvement Purchasing Center. Those positions are still very much necessary and will be transferred to the Department of Health. I think there were two other positions on there that one was half funded by general fund and another was an administrative assistant. And at this point, I don't believe that any decision has been made as to exactly how those positions will be handled. Depending on how things are merged, we will probably still need those individuals. And I think it's important to keep in mind that over the past few years, the department has gone from over 200 FTEs to something around 143 FTEs. All the functions that DOOR currently does will continue on in other departments, and much of the same labor will be required to accomplish them.
Just to be clear, this should not affect the Deputy Commissioner for Labor Relations. Obviously, it affects the commission, the DOOR Commissioner, and the fiscal note said so. You do have an Assistant Commissioner for Agency Operations, half paid for by the general fund, half by insurance. The Director of Strategic Planning, which is half general fund, half insurance. The Administrative Assistant to the Commissioner, 100% general fund. And then the Center for Healthcare Improvement Staff, 100% general fund. So I think those are the ones we're looking at that were not fenced off by the merger agreement. So, but not we do not see that that would be eliminating the Deputy Commissioner for Labor Relations. Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Anderson regrets that she cannot be here today. She just also asked me to convey that she has somewhat a concern in abolishing the agency January 1 because we will be in renewing negotiations with the health insurance plans. She asked me to convey that concern.
But If it's going to be merged one way or the other, I mean, there's still someone. Why are we merging then? You know, why not call off this merger? And if you got to have the agency in place,
that's true. And we don't. It doesn't necessarily have to be a substantial disruption. She did just wish me to raise that concern,
Senator.
Maybe we should revisit that issue, Ms. Smith.
Senator Betzold, I think the issue is one of timing. The merger was planned to be phased in on a schedule that would be the least disruptive to the usual cycle of the work the department does. We have a cycle of labor relations negotiations, which includes a lot of insurance work on especially the health plans. Shortly after that, they then have to go into contract renewals with the health plans as well as open enrollment. So the hope was that we would roll out the merger over time and through a process that is not disruptive to that schedule. And I think the general feeling of the commissioner is a January 1 schedule would be problematic because of that.
Well, I suppose we can certainly discuss it, but I'd like to see a fiscal note that shows a little bit more savings than one person. I had to make some guesswork here. And I think, you know, go back and talk to the people who prepared the fiscal note and say, let's be a little bit more forthright. We're stashing people. Okay? That's how I see it. So, okay? Any other questions? Thank you. Any other questions on the bill or any proposals on the commissioner? Welcome to the commission.
Mr. Chair and members, Dana Badgerill, Commissioner of Administration. I thought I would just comment briefly on the elimination of the second deputy position in the Department of Administration. I have but one deputy, and I believe for the operation of the department really require only one deputy. However, since the Office of Enterprise Technology does not have an authorized deputy, we have been using that position by interagency agreement. So, in effect, the reduction of this amount in the Department of Administration is a reduction in the Office of Enterprise Technology. So I just wanted to make that really clear that those monies are currently being expended through interagency agreement at the Office of Enterprise Technology to fund their deputy.
And I think we were aware of that. So
okay, fine.
Any other questions? Thank you. Anything else? If there is nothing else, members, is there a motion to adopt? I'm sorry. Senator Rust. Senator Rust moves that, well, I guess what it is, the draft of SC 5486-2 be adopted as amended as it'll be a bill for introduction. I will introduce the bill. And incorporate with instructions to council to incorporate the state government budget division's general fund budget into that bill. Anything further we need?
Necessary technical changes.
And allowing council to make whatever necessary technical changes to accomplish that. Is there a discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members. And then, now we actually get to deal with some money. If we could hand out the list of the one-time expenditures. As I indicated previously, the Finance Committee initially set a kind of a target. They don't want to call it that, but they wanted us to submit a list of one-time expenditures. I gave you the ballots the other day of the issues that were for this budget division on one-time things. And I'm handing them out ranked in the order that that you rank them. Now, we're going to have some discussion on this because it doesn't neatly fit. We've got roughly about $16 million. The number one item we have is capital renovation, which is $130 million. That doesn't fit easily into 16. What I'm suggesting, and I'm proposing that even though I was told to submit a bill of roughly $16 million, given the fact that this was overwhelmingly voted by this budget division, I'm prepared, if it's the wish of this division, to introduce a bill that has this in the bill at $130 million. plus stuff that totals $16 million, so that at least we can get it before the Senate Finance Committee what we thought should be done. I mean, all they can do is swat me down when it gets there, but I am prepared to accept the $130 million, since you said that it was your number one item. But now we have to discuss the other items. I mean, if you just went through number items two and a couple of – we had three items that were tied for number seven. I mean, we just allocated the points based on how you did. If you went down number two all the way to the LCC revisers item, that gets you to $15,907 million.
I'm sorry, would you say again?
From number two, which is Capital Area Architecture and Planning Board, number two, down to LCC Revisor, that's the Extend Build Draft System. If all we did was adopt that in the order as we voted on them, that would be $15,907, which allows us to pick up one or two small things. However, it isn't that simple. Let me call to your attention a few things here. We didn't put rank very high. If you go to about the fourth from the bottom, Finance, Northwest Airlines Bankruptcy Council. Northwest Airlines is in bankruptcy court. One way or the other, the state has to be represented because of the lease agreements and so forth that are there. I don't know if 315 is the correct number, but we were told that this is a one-time thing that's going to finish probably this year, and it may not be 315, but it's something that probably needs to be addressed. Right above that is the MAPS system. The MAPS system is basically the procurement system for the state. It's falling apart. It needs to be replaced. To do so, I believe, was about $54 million. This would patch it up for another year at $7 million. Frankly, I wish we could just get it out of the way and get the new system done. But if we do neither, and by the way, our fiscal notes come out of this system too, so we may... This is going to be a problem. Well, yeah, but this is a problem if, you know, I mean, this is an issue here. If you go up a little bit further, administration relocation of Department of Public Safety Emergency Operations Center, this is something that I think the Homeland Security folks have indicated that, has some serious issues here, that, and we can discuss that further to refresh your memory. That's the governor's recommendation. A little bit higher. Under administration, targeted group disparity study, these are federal funds that we're going to lose, and it's something that absolutely must be done to determine whether or not, when we give government contracts, whether we are fairly doing it. We would like to see the department administration keep track of it, do better numbers, but this is a study that must be done. And then the second, our number two item, actually, the comp area capillary comp plan update. That's something, again, it's a fairly small number. Senator Russ can talk about that. But Council or Mr. Lindeen, is there anything else in here that might have more urgency than others? Oh, by the way, Senate Technology Initiative, that affects some things that I talked about earlier the Senate would like to do. But Mr. Lindeen or Mr. – is there other things we should call to the attention?
I might just want to point out the revisor system to complete that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where is
that
on here?
Extend.
Where's that?
Number seven. It's one of the three tied with seven. LCC Revisor, ORS Extend Build Draft System. We've kind of got half the system done, and this finishes it off. Senator Wolstein.
Mr. Chair, when they presented to us on the maps, if I remember right, I thought it was like 6.5 for patching and 500,000 for planning, if that's correct. But isn't that kind of a best guess? I mean, they don't know what's going to break down, what needs to be fixed. So I'm just wondering if we were to make that a smaller number, because I do see that as an estimate, and I don't know if there's wiggle room in there or not.
I don't know. Senator Jungbauer?
I had a different question if anybody can.
Oh, well, okay. Does anybody want to... Any questions or comment on the maps? I don't know. Mr. Lindeen, do you have any additional information?
Well, I think you're correct, Senator Olsen, that $6.5 million is basically, depending how much risk the Department of Finance would want to take on, it's kind of a contingency fund. If they need the whole $6.5 million, they'll spend it. If they only need $3 million, they'll only spend $3 million, and the remainder will go back to the general fund.
And then next year that could be addressed. But yeah. I think for right now they're looking for $7 million, and no, that's the number that we've got pegged here. So, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm kind of not following this Northwest Airlines bankruptcy thing, you talk about leases and stuff that we have to defend, but that all comes under Metropolitan Airports Commission. So how does the bankruptcy attorney end up in a different category than Metropolitan Airports Commission? How do we...
Well, the state, this was before I think most of us got here. Sarah Rest, I think you were around here when the terminal was built, and Northwest Airlines was leasing it. They're now going through bankruptcy, and one of the issues that has been going on in the bankruptcy court is whether to affirm the lease for that terminal or whether to break the lease. And, of course, there's consequences to the state. You know, I mean, I don't know that, and Mr. Landina, the bonding goes with it. So the state has an interest in whatever the bankruptcy court does, you know, with that the Northwest Airlines lease of that terminal. And so at some point, you know, we're going to have to fund counsel up there. Whether it's, you know, it's expected to be done within the next few months. The number we got was $315,000. Presumably, if they don't spend that, then we're, you know, that reverts to the general fund as well, too. So, Senator John Bauer.
Mr. Chair, you know, it's kind of troubling to see that in this committee. We deal with that in transportation in terms of Metropolitan Airports Commission, and they, unaided by any legislative authority, ostensibly, they're supposed to answer to us, but they're negotiating a $256 million package for Northwest again, and they're asking another department to foot the bill on the attorney so they get all the benefit and some other department gets the bill. I'm really having a problem with that.
Well, perhaps we should clarify. We're talking about the facility up in Duluth. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one we're talking about. That was the one that was built for as a maintenance facility, and that is the one that they're working on right now as to whether Northwest Airlines wants to hang on to the lease or get rid of the lease, and they can do either one, but whatever they do is going to affect the state and the bonds on that facility.
But, Mr. Chair, what they're paying the money back to us is with our own money on the whole overhaul deal that they're coming out of with MSP, so it's kind of a catch-22.
Mr. Bodner,
Mr. Chairman, just pointing out that what's being defended there are the security interests that were put in place for the bonds, and if the bankruptcy court decides that the state doesn't, as I understand it, that the state doesn't have the priority or that they weren't perfected in some manner or shape, then the state's general obligation bond authority would be on the line to back the bonds. So what the council would be doing is making sure that the state's security interests are being protected.
Sarah Rust.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jungbauer, just for the record, the Transportation Committee does not have jurisdiction over the Metropolitan Airports Commission. It's the jurisdiction of state and local government. Now, we do have a subcommittee there, as you're aware, you're on it. I chair it on aeronautics and aviation. But the jurisdiction over the MAC and over Metropolitan Council, for that matter, except for the funding the Metropolitan Transit, is a policy issue. It's not in the Transportation Committee. It's in the state and local government. And if I say that enough times, maybe at some point somebody will start believing it.
Let me make a suggestion here, and I want to find out where you're at. Okay, as I said, I'll certainly be willing to entertain a motion on, let me entertain a motion. Number one, to put Senate File 666, capital renovation, into this one-time money bill. As I say, it's going, I can't go very far with it, but Senator Rest,
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we include in our one-time recommendations the money for the capital renovation, restoration, in Senate File 666 at the $130 million level, knowing that this eventually is a decision for the Finance Committee.
And since we already sent the bill there, this sends our recommendation of the money with it. The discussion on that motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Okay, that is going to be in the bill. Now, let's total something in the total $16 million. I'll make a suggestion, and, you know, I'll just see if somebody wants to move it. the number two item, Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. Again, Senator Rest, you can talk on that one, but I believe that that's a comp plan that they have to do.
That's the decennial comp plan that's required by the Metropolitan Council, and the governor did not include an appropriation for this very small agency to be able
to do that, so the additional money that we were giving them to make them whole would have been wiped out if we don't make this one-time appropriation of $65,000 to accomplish their comp plan for MedCounsel.
I'm going to give you a list here and just kind of check them off, and let's just open it for debate. LCC Revisor, that's the Extend Bill Draft System. It was started last year or so. This completes the system. Department of Administration Targeted Group Disparity Study. Again, this is something we're required to do by the federal government. There's a loss
where is,
of...
Where is that one?
I'm sorry. It's about the middle of the page. Administration Targeted Group Disparity Study, $850,000. We're required to do it by the federal government. There's a potential loss of funds if we do not do this. So kind of check that one off. Senate, consider technology initiative. And again, this is more, updating our servers that have been crashing. Under that is Department of Administration's relocation for Department of Public Safety Emergency Operations Center. Skip down a little bit, MAPS. Finance MAPS Risk Mitigation Replacement Plan, and then finance Northwest Airlines Bankruptcy Council. I'm not quite sure what that totals. It doesn't total 16, but those are things that it's slightly more than $12 million. So let me open it for discussion. Is any issues or questions on that? Senator John Bauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Being on the Revisor Subcommittee for a number of years now, the Extend program really needs to be completed. And if it's not completed, they're scheduled to come off of a mainframe computer that actually would free up a whole room, as the mainframe computer takes up the whole room. So we actually gain some space back by completing it as well. But that project does need to be completed, and even with this last infusion, hopefully, of monies, it will still come under somewhere, other states' revisors in doing the same kind of thing went somewhere between $7 and $10 million. I think this brings us somewhere between $6 to $6.5 million for our complete changeover. So we're still under what other states have done for the similar type of operation.
Senator Roebling.
Some of these things are not glamorous and probably didn't end up on top of our list because of it. Mm-hmm. But I do see that some of them are quite essential. Just to protect the state in some cases, such as the Northwest Airlines Bankruptcy Council. We can't ignore that because it could end up costing us a whole lot more if we're not well represented. I am also concerned about the targeted group disparity study. That could cost us a whole lot more. So we have to look at it not as just money spent, but money saved as well. And the relocation of the Department of Public Safety Emergency Operations Center, it's something that we're going to have to address at some time, and if something were to ever happen to that center because of its current location, we would all be having deep regrets later if we didn't take care of it. I think some of these things, just by their very nature, have to be pulled up to the top. And I don't know how, do we want to vote on them or move them or what?
I just gave you a list of the things that, in my opinion, seem to be more urgent than others. It doesn't spend all the $16 million, but if there's the sense of the Budget Division to adopt that list, we can put that in the bill, and then we start looking at what's left and see what we can fit. So, Senator Rest.
Could you just give us that list?
Sure.
Your list?
Here's the things that I've checked off. Number two on the list is Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. Then go down to the second, number seven. There's three of them. LCC Revisor, Extend Build Draft System. Go down to number eight, Targeted Group Disparity Study. Go down to the first number, 10, Senate Technology Initiative. Go down to the other number 10, Relocation for Department of Public Safety Emergency Operations Center. Number 13, Finance Risk Mitigation Replacement Plan. Number 14, Finance Northwest Airlines Bankruptcy Council.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, that gets us, Mr. Lundeen, to?
Gets us to $12,124,000.
We should probably save a little, Mr. Chair,
well,
a little in there. For
well, we've got some other play here. Now, it does, obviously, if we go that direction, it might preclude something like public television digital conversion. It might, which actually is something that Senator Kubley can talk about. I mean, we're facing some deadlines in doing that. It's going to tie your hands in some other. Obviously, Office of Enterprise Technology, Minnesota Electronic License. That's $15 million right there. So, yep. But you know, I don't know that we can do part of. We might be able. Well, let's talk about where we can go after this. But we might be able to, for instance, put some money into digital television, if not the whole thing. You know, I mean, it might be appropriate for somebody to make a motion to adjust some of these numbers just to get something in there. But
well,
these are the numbers I've got right. These are some things, a proposal right now to get us to $12 million. Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Chair. I wonder if we might hear a little testimony on that, just to talk about, you know, what's available for them and what may not be if those dollars aren't raised in some
sure.
fashion. You know, and I'm not sure, you know, I mean, I know OET has some needs, too. I mean, do we have somebody here that could represent them or not?
Oh, they're here, yeah. Well, obviously, your vote might be affected by, because if you vote on this list, you're obviously precluding some issues. So
yeah.
If somebody wants to talk about the digital conversion, and somebody want to talk about the Minnesota electronic licensing system. I mean, we see that the numbers have been given to us. But if we had a lesser number, is there anything we can do here? Mr. Straczynski, I guess you'd be talking about the digital television.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Bill Straczynski again with Minnesota Public Television Association. As we've testified before the committee this year, we do have a date of March 12th. 2009 where we have to turn off our analog transmitters and send that license back to the federal government. We have the need for all of our operating equipment to be replaced in a digital format. So, Mr. Chairman, I understand budget constraints and what have you. Anything we could do would be helpful. We will try and raise money elsewhere as well with the federal government, but as we heard testimony the other day, the federal government doesn't view in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the U.S. Department of Commerce doesn't view this as the highest priority because they still have digital transmitters around the rest of the country that need to be converted for the transmission, at least, so you can at least broadcast the digital signal. So, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions. It's extremely important to us. Part of that also was an interconnection, which would interconnect all of our stations so that we can then distribute a signal, for example, the Minnesota legislature, easily to everybody in the state of Minnesota, much more easily. It would allow us an interconnection to the state of Minnesota's digital fiber optic system. And we have statutory authority already enabling us several years ago to hook up to that system. But it does require digital specific equipment to do that interconnection. Just like to point out to the committee that we've gone trying to save a lot of money. Our original interconnection thoughts and plans were for $7.9 million. And we have that number, I think, is about $800,000 now. But that's part of our overall request for in our digital conversion effort. Mr. Chairman, we'll do the best we can with what the committee would can help us with. It's just extremely important. So
you're saying it's not an all or nothing. I mean, if it's not, it's you know, if right now, it's you're not saying it's got to be $14 million or you can't do anything, you can have a lesser number?
Mr. Chairman, I think with that, we were just going to do the best we can and secure other kinds of grants. The $14 million is what it – 12.9 is the correct number, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry. It's not $14 million.
Okay. Well, we still have got that, so okay.
Okay. Chairman, I just saved $1.1 million. It's important to get it in play. It doesn't have to be done in 1 year. It can be done over a couple of years. We have a little time. Mm-hmm. This is not new – they don't have to innovate the equipment. It's off-the-shelf types of equipment, but our total costs are going to be our $12.9 million with not much hope for federal funding. So, and we cannot penetrate the public for additional money. We raise money all the time. We're very good at it, but, I mean, there is a saturation point. So, Mr. Chairman, we will do the best we can with what we have. Let me say that. And we certainly view the interconnection as a high priority as part of that. We'd allocate dollars on a needed basis to the stations who need it the most and at least wherewithal or have the better opportunity for a federal grant. As we have done in the past with other grants, we would do the best we can to secure additional dollars elsewhere. But, what happens always for public television, at least, and has since 1980, well, it's the 60s when the first appropriation went to public television from the state legislature. It's a good base of economic support because you represent all of the people, as do we, and it's an incentive for others to help out. But we need that catalyst certainly to even be in the game, I think, Mr. Chairman. So anything, again, we'll do the best we can. We would mean less equipment at this time, or maybe there's a priority of types of equipment. I don't have my list with me that we gave you the other day that actually broke out what types of equipment needed to be purchased with those dollars, and then maybe the stations can do some priorities as to what's more specific. Remember, local originating programming will not happen unless we get digital equipment on the air, put those programs on the air in the future.
I hear you. Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could hear from the Office of Enterprise Technology the same kind of testimony with regard to the electronic licensing system. Right. And I'm also interested in knowing if we didn't give $2.5 million for the technology initiative to the Senate and gave some lesser amount there, would that does that stymie that really being accomplished, or do I can't remember the testimony on it, if we really need the whole amount in this year?
I don't know. First of all, any other questions, Mr. Straczynski? Senator Roebling, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Straczynski, I was wondering, you said that by 2008 we had to have a lot of this conversion work done. No.
Okay.
Has there been any appeal made to the FCC or whomever it is? Because if the feds aren't coming through with an appropriate amount of funding either, how do they actually expect different businesses to make this or different public television stations to do it? Have you attempted to appeal for an extension?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, yes, there has been several appeals to the FCC. Unfortunately, this is an unfunded federal mandate, and the federal government has already sold or pre-sold the analog license. We're giving back a bandwidth on frequencies, radio frequencies, essentially back to the federal government. They've directed that to be happened. They've already planned to sell all those frequencies, and that money has been part of the Federal Budget Balancing Reduction Act. They're booking that money already from those sales of that analog license. There's been several formal appeals to the FCC, and they've all been declined. They made the firm decision to proceed with the digital conversion. And this is not for public television. All television stations have to do the same thing. But there is no hope for relief at the federal level, and they've reaffirmed their March 12, 2009 date as the day we have to turn off our analog transmitter because we're broadcasting in both technologies. And that license gets returned to the federal government, and it's booked for sale at public auction for pagers, cell phones, and all those kinds of things.
Other questions, Mr. Straczynski? Okay. We did have a question about if somebody could talk about the Minnesota electronic licensing system to see if there's any play there. Obviously, we've got a $16 million target and $15 million spent here. I have limited option. Mr. Lally, could you identify yourself for the record?
My name is John Lally. I'm planning director for the Office of Enterprise Technology. There are two major components to that $15 million initiative. About $3.6 million in change is for identity management, security, foundational stuff for any e-government functions that are going to be built on that. It's associated with e-licensing because that's the first of the major initiatives to come into play. The balance of that appropriation is for the e-licensing programming logic and services and some additional hardware. You can do the first part of that along identity management and security without doing the second part. You cannot do the second part without doing the first part. Otherwise, we'd have highly insecure and inoperable systems.
So we could go to $3,600,000 and at least get something going if that's what the will of the division is.
Sooner or later, we're going to have to spend that if we want to do any additional e-government development for licensing or anything else.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. Do members desire any other additional information?
On Senate Technology.
Oh, Senate Technology. Somebody here can talk about that number. I don't know. Mr. Greenwald or Ms. Kelm, do you have? Mr. Greenwald.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Greenwald, Director of Information Systems for the Senate.
Yeah, if you could refresh our memory what the $2.5 million was for Senate technology initiatives was.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I don't have that in front of me, but there are a number of initiatives which that includes for technology, both for the data technology and also for the video or broadcast technology. It falls from the broadcast technology a little bit into what you just heard from the public television, in that the Senate also has to move from its analog systems into the digital systems, and those amount to about half of this, or $1.3 million, to get new switches, servers, and digital video broadcast equipment. The remainder is for a number of different items that we are looking at from a data standpoint and from a capital expenditure standpoint, including about a half $1 million for replacing the roll call system in the Senate chambers, for possibly moving into the new voice over IP telephone system, for some security issue initiatives which we want to bring up to the latest, and also to bring basically all of the network and servers up to a later redundant system. Right now, the last time we had any major infusion, I believe, was about 8 years ago when Senator Price chaired this committee and we had a one-time infusion of money. Otherwise, we've had a reduction in our operating budgets over the last few years because of that, and the remainder of that is for a redundant servers for web database and security systems.
Chair Olson?
I had a question. If we do go ahead with the capital improvements, would, like, if you're building a new school, generally they put in new computers, new, you know, TVs and new technology when they do that. Does the capital improvement plan include upgrading technology?
Senator Russ?
Mr. Chairman, what I understand, I mean, Senator Olson, from Mr. Bierenberg, and I don't know if Commissioner Badgero is still here, is that they will, to the extent possible, make the restoration in the systems flexible enough to receive improved technology as we go along and decide to fund. He explained it kind of like, you know, in the systems here where there's, if you have an interior subterranean or whatever hallway for something, they're going to make sure that it's able to be accessed with improved technology rather than having it all embedded and then you can't improve it in the future. But they can't predict what that kind of technology is going to be. So there's some flexibility in the basic structures, the physical space, but not necessarily all of the, not just technology upon technology. It'll be state-of-the-art as it is now, particularly with the life safety systems and the air exchange systems and so forth. So that part would be part of it, but for the future of it, the dollars, you know, would end up being appropriated at some other time. Does that answer your issue?
Well, it kind of, Senator Rest. For instance, if we were to put up a new voting board and they remodel the Senate chambers to original, maybe it's not appropriate to do that at this time and limp along for six more years until we had...
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, also what Mr. Greenberg talked about and the Department of Administration is, as the building is being restored, the current systems would move with the entity, like the Senate chamber. The voting board could be moved. We use that when they're putting new technology into what the current Senate space is, then the new technology for the voting board there. Now, it may be that the voting board that we would have under this Senate new technology initiative could not only come out with us into the swing space, but could go back in and would be compatible. I mean, that would be something, obviously, we would want the technology experts to tell us. It could be compatible with whatever other kinds of technology is going back in the Senate chamber, and the same thing for the House, for that matter. Although I think Mr. Grunewald can correct me if I'm wrong, I think the House's system is newer than the Senate's. Is it the same?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, no, they're actually were both put in a similar time, but by different vendors. House is maintained by the House and a local vendor here in the Twin Cities, and the Senate system is maintained by International Roll Call out of the state of Virginia. Also, the technology, basically the remodeling or renovation, would sort of have building infrastructure or, you know, the routes to get from here to there capable, but we would not be actually completing the project right now until 2014, when the Senate would finally move back into the West Wing. And we can't really wait on some of these updates of technologies till 2014 to be able to do some of the work. So these are things to update immediately for the next couple of years when modeling will not affect us.
However, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, some of those things that would be updated now would not be thrown away when we would be coming back into the space, the permanent space from the swing space. Yes. So updating the technology doesn't mean that we don't incorporate it into the restoration of the building at the end point.
Mr. Chairman, actually, some of these one-time initiatives, we have looked at what we would do with the renovation or what we would do without the renovation. Obviously, there's a different route that would be taken in one case or the other. So we do have a couple of alternatives that we're looking at. We really can't decide what those are until we find out whether the financing for the renovation will take place and there's a schedule for it.
Sir Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Greenwald, I'm maybe talking about two different things here, but, you know, it's hard for me to look at technology initiatives when, you know, since the beginning of the year, I don't know about everybody else, but I've been losing or don't get 1 in 10 emails. The other day, I sent out all kinds of emails to my fellow senators and stuff, and group-wise isn't working. Is that under the same kind of funding, or where do we got to put the money so the stuff that we need every day works?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jungbauer, that is part of what we want to put in place. Currently, we have servers which are about 5 or 6 years old, which runs our web and our mail server. The initiatives ask for the new servers for mail servers, for web server, for database servers, and for what we call our SAN or our database backup servers, and also redundancy for those servers. We have not had funding to be able to provide redundancy or extra servers in that case.
Sir Rest.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Grunewald, so how much is that out of the 2.5?
Out of the $2.5 million. About less than $150,000.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, Mr. Grunewald, it costs less than $150,000 to get our email working. So let's spend it right now.
Sign us up.
I would have to. I don't have $150,000 in the Senate budget for that.
I'm joking, of course, yeah. But it is a sense of frustration to.
Yes.
To everyone, where the only way we can get information about the Senate is to go into the House website when the Senate website is down.
Folks, okay, we got roughly a half an hour left to go. I identified a couple of things that seemed to me to be a higher priority. What's the sense of budget division? And as I say, if we did that list, you got $12 million some, and then we got some more issues we can start looking at. So we'll see.
Well, as we're hearing that the Office of Enterprise Technology, $3.6 million would help them get started, I'd like to go back to MAPS and say, well, what if it is only $3 million over the 2 years that they have to use to patch systems? Or if we cut that and something did happen, where would those dollars come from? I mean, if something dramatic happened now, we wouldn't be able to cover it anyhow. So how would that be? Say it needed a $10 million repair, where would those dollars come from?
I don't know if MAPS, can anybody address, can MAPS be done for less than $7 million? Do we know that information? It's a patch, but, I mean, that's the number we've got. It's the number we've got. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. My name is Peggy Luxo. I'm with the Department of Finance. I'm the budget officer for the department. My understanding of this initiative is that the $6.5 million that you were discussing is contingency money, and in the event that a higher contingent amount would be needed, that would have to go through the usual LAC advisory committee process of where anything goes above our contingent amounts that are set aside in the budget. So it would take a separate legislative action to appropriate any additional money needed. And it like you were saying, this is an estimate of what might be needed under a scenario.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Well, where I'm going is, I guess I don't know if I need to make a motion or what, but I'd maybe like to drop that to $3.5 million and put $3 million into Office Enterprise Technology, or maybe 3.4, and then they would have 3.6 in Office of Enterprise Technology.
Well, Enterprise Technology said that they needed 3.6.
Okay, right. So then 3.4 at MAPS.
Well, we can take that as a proposal right now. Anybody else? I mean, I made a list. You know, I mean, if you're happy to work off the list that I suggested, we can keep going that direction. Let me make a suggestion. If somebody wants to make a motion on that, let's do it again. Number two, Capital Area Architectural Board. Number three, Office of Enterprise Technology for $3.6 million. Number seven, LCC Revisor. Extend build draft. Number eight, administration targeted group disparity study. Number 10, Senate technology initiative. Administration relocation department of public safety emergency operations center. Number 11, MAPS risk mitigation for $3.4 million. Finance. Northwest Airlines Bankruptcy Council. And that presumably would be the same amount that Mr. Lundin said before, about $12,124,000. Is there a motion to adopt that list, or what do you want to do? Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, I would move we would adopt that list and then look at some other initiatives to fill the rest.
Okay. So, Senator Rust.
Mr. Chair, have we adopted Senator Olsen's suggestion that we do 3.6 for the office?
Yep. I just read a modified list, and Senator Rust is moving that. And so the only thing from different from my original list is we're Office of Enterprise Technology to 3.6 and then reducing MAPS to 3.4. So it all nets out to $12,124,000. Senator Rust moves that list. Is there a discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Now there's less than $4 million to go. So is there things that you look at on this list that is doable that we can start doing? We can take individual ones or make a list or whatever. Senator Rust.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know that the Commission to End Poverty has money now, and I – like if there's anybody here who can speak about that, about why they really needed that other 100,000. Is there anybody?
I believe Senator Dibble's here. I believe they had been appropriated, I think, 250,000. The members were just recently appointed.
They could just speak.
But Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I don't have the budget handy. I was just pulled into the room. Alerted to the fact that we're doing the markup right now, but if members recall, we did work with Mr. Hubinger's office to establish what was a reasonable, fairly constrained budget. We came in with that $500,000 request for the coming biennium and scaled it back to about $350,000. The uses of that money would be to allow for some of the administrative expenses, typical administrative expenses of a rather intensive undertaking over the next year and a half or so, allow ourselves to match some of the research dollars that are being put on the table by a community foundation, allow for some staff work as well to help with that research and with the administrative effort that's going to be put forward by the commission. It should be noted that there's going to be, like I said, a community foundation is going to put forth a great deal of time and effort to support the work, as well as a tremendous amount of time donated by a huge variety of organizations that are interested in the work of this commission. Deborah Schlick here can...
Well, we're not going to go into the merits of it. Mm-hmm. We're going to go into the funding issues.
Right. Well, I think Deborah Schlick can help illuminate some of that.
Only
as well.
The funding issues. Okay, welcome to the Budget Division.
Thank you, Chairman Betzel, Commission members. I'll be very brief. I'm Deborah Schlick with the Affirmative Options Coalition. We see the funding doing three critical things to make sure this is an effective legislative commission, that there is full-time staff that can manage the work of the commission, that the commission can get around the state and talk to and in communities, and that the commission can look at research happening inside and outside the state of Minnesota about what are the most effective policy efforts in this area. Thank you.
Now, keep in mind, members, the money would be appropriated to the Legislative Coordinating Commission. It's not earmarked necessarily even for this. We can put in the language there, but if the LCC needs the money elsewhere, they can put it elsewhere. We're not appropriating directly to there. Senator John Bauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the I can't remember the gentleman's name that talked to me as one of the new members on the commission, that the $100,000 would actually, that full amount would be geared towards actually compiling and producing and publishing a report that could be distributed at the end of the commission's work, so that we could actually publish findings that would be beneficial in talking to different communities and the legislature as well in putting that report out.
Okay. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If this is going to the LCC, I would like to propose that they take some money that has been going to the staff for the Commission on the Economic Status of Women, which there's no longer a commission for, and take one of those staff people and help them staff this poverty commission if they need to. I know that position, the head position for that economic status of women, is currently open. I don't think it's been filled. But there's currently two people, I think, funded for that. And there isn't, like I said, there's not a commission anymore. I think they gather data, do things like that. But some of that work has got to overlap. Because part of the duty of what used to be the commission was to try and help women out of poverty. And so I'm thinking that certainly their work should overlap, and we could for a time pull somebody from that and help staff this short-term commission to end poverty.
So you're suggesting what? Just let the LCC work it out then? Is that...
Do they need, Mr. Chair, do they need authority from us to do something like that, or can...
I don't know. Mr. Hubinger is here. Did you hear the question, Mr. Hubinger? Please identify yourself to the commission.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I think Senator Roebling raises a good point that some of the mission overlaps between these two offices. I had the sense that the staff would be cooperating anyway. The LCC could coordinate and work on funding issues between these two, depending on the funding levels that's appropriated.
Okay. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion on another.
Okay. Well, does any other questions on the commission to end poverty? Well, thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Rest,
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going back to looking at digital conversion mm-hmm. issues, and it seems to me that they, even though they didn't speak and overhear, that Minnesota Public Radio has the same kind of need, albeit at a lesser level. And I was wondering if we of that $3,876,000 left, if $2 million of it, idea, $2 million of it to public television, and $500,000 to the NPR digital conversion, if that would be a good way to go with that 3.8, and then we'd have another 1.376 to deal with.
I don't remember. I think the NPR, correct me if somebody refresh my memory, the NPR money was to extend the signal. I don't think there was any deadlines on that, were there?
Maybe we could ask them.
Yeah, somebody could explain that, yeah. What was the...
If a $500,000 would be helpful. It looks like anything would be helpful for the public television, but is that same thing true for the digital conversion for NPR?
Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Nancy Hilden, and I'm here on behalf of Minnesota Public Radio. We share the same types of issues with conversion to digital. Radio has not yet started that conversion in the state. There are federal dollars totaling $3.1 million available to NPR to match funds that would go into this conversion. And so the way this would work, basically, is if we don't get the full 3.8, which would fully span the state for conversion of the NPR network, what would happen is there would be a priority made to try to start the process and capture as much of the federal match as we could.
So, Mr. Chairman, so this project is also scalable with regard to
it is scalable with available dollars.
Mr. Chairman, I would make that motion.
Okay. Before we do, let me offer an idea here. I know if your motion is certainly in order. We have two relatively small items. One is number 5, and that is giving some computers to really small agencies that have absolutely nothing. They're really falling apart, and I think it's in a crisis stage for them. It's a small amount, relatively. And then number 12, I remember Sarah Scoey, there's some land that they found some, it was an Indian burial ground, and they wanted to buy the land, basically, to, well, the state's in a position that's going to, it has to buy the land, basically. So they're relatively small, but I think that if we can take care of, I think those are two that, in my view, should be done. But then we can look at what's left and decide if there's anything beyond television and radio to be done. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I would make that motion.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if you would consider to that adding the dollars for the that came up number 4, which is also a very small amount for the legislative training forum.
That's in already.
No, it isn't. No, it's not. This is one-time money. It's only for next year. And I mean, I was the author of that bill, but if that's the wish of the budget division, else, we number 4, legislative training forum. Number 5, Office of Enterprise Technology, small agency technology. And number 12, Indian Affairs Council burial acquisition.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we just put the balance then into public television?
If that's the motion of the will of the budget division, we can do that. Yeah, but I felt we should try to get these small items out of the way first before we look at what's left.
Could we just do that and then come back and see how much is there?
So Senator Rest
just
is
doing the small items.
Just these first. We still have more money left.
Not even the digital conversion things.
We don't know how much money is going to be left, and we can back up and revisit any of these things if that's the wish. So these items, legislative training forum, small agency IT, and Indian burial acquisition. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. And I don't know if Mr. Lundin's got his calculator done yet, but
it should be 3,686.
Yeah. Okay.
What's left?
3,686.
Mr. Chairman, the professional technical contract savings negotiations unit. What was the What was that for?
Let's see. Commissioner, or does somebody want to discuss that part?
Which one was that?
Mr. Chair, I certainly would, and with indulgence, I'd like to discuss another item as well.
Yes.
The professional and technical contract savings is to fund three people in the Department of Administration to create a contract negotiations team. We have found through the Drive to Excellence strategic sourcing that if we negotiate following the selection of a successful bidder, we are able to get price reductions of some significance, on average 17%. As an example, our MAPS contract, which we were able to save $123,000 and actually bring it in within budget for our earlier MAPS evaluation. So this would establish a team that would ultimately pay for itself, which is why it is a one-time item. We believe that after the group is up and running, it will more than fund many, many multiples of the investment through savings in contracts.
Hey, Commissioner, did you have something else you want to address, too?
I do,
okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chair. It has not been characterized on your list as a one-time item, but in truth it is, and it is our department's number one funding priority, which is the real property system. It gets lost in the shuffle because it is a 22-agency request, and many of those other agencies are going to get equal benefit from it. The $6.7 million request actually comprised of a one-time software purchase of $5.5 million. That program, and I just heard the word scalable in reference to another system, can be implemented in modules. And we believe that we can implement a good part of the real property system with a one-time investment of $2.5 million. We can get it going. We can get some additional modules in place. We may not get every single one of the 22 agencies on board. But we believe that with $2.5 million, we can get a good start on implementing the real property system. It, too, will more than pay for itself after implementation. The state of Washington claimed to have saved over $2 million just in lease cost savings once it understood better what it was leasing and how its lease space was occupied. So we know that these are both items with significant payoff, unfortunately not in the current biennium, so it doesn't help you with your target.
Thank you. Members, apparently it's $3,686,000 that we have left after the things we've adopted. Senator Rust.
Well, a suggestion. If we did do the professional contract savings, that would bring us down to $3,125,000. And we could go out of that then $2.5 million for public television and then $625,000 for NPR, and that would take care of it.
Now the real estate thing did not show up on the this one time. Is that, I'm not quite sure. Is it Mr. Lindeen?
Well, I think it was presented as it had ongoing tails. I think what the commissioner is saying is they can take the project and break it apart and do a portion of it and then come back in the future, but get a portion of it.
That's why it didn't show up on this list, because we've already done the ongoing stuff, but okay. All righty. Senator Rest is moving then
to do number seven.
Do professional technical contract savings at 561.
And then to do TPR at public television at
digital
2.
Television
2.5, and then that drops down to $625,000 for NPR's beginning digital conversion.
Okay. This would take us to our limit. Is there discussion on that? Any other ideas, Senator Olsen?
The only other thing I heard the testimony on the LCC end poverty legislation at 100,000, but I haven't heard any discussion on the Secretary of State's absentee voting one.
That was a bill by Senator Sharon.
Mr. Chairman, I thought we were going to be dealing with the Secretary of State and how we could leverage HAVA funds and so on next week.
We will. Theoretically, we could deal with that now with one-time money. What we're going to be dealing with next week is more of the ongoing money, because, frankly, this is going to be sent to the Finance Committee as our wish list for the one-time money. I don't know that I can add to that with afterwards. We'll look at the Secretary of State's issues next year, but I can't. I don't know if I can send any more one-time money.
Well, responding to Senator Rolstein, what if we set aside that 123 for the absentee voting, because that was the highest one, and then made the MPR one, it would be 502. And then we would have the one-time money for the one of the Secretary of State's, well, it's actually, I don't know if it's their initiative, but the absentee ballot thing.
So your proposal is number seven, it's Secretary of State absentee voting.
The third number seven, 561.
From professional technology contract savings, okay.
$2.5 million for public television, Kubley bill.
Okay.
And then $502,000, is it SCOI bill? SCOI bill for?
Digital conversion MPR.
For MPR. That would be my motion.
And that, again, would also take us to the limit.
Yes.
Now, and I guess we have to give, well, can you give the chair some, a little bit, if we went over, I may have to work with our fiscal analyst to adjust a little bit. They'll still be in there, but we may have to adjust a number or two in there because we don't want to go over 16.
Mr. Chairman, I'm comfortable with that. Okay. If the relative dollars, are in the same thing.
If they're grossly off, then I'll have to individually talk to members and work with you on that one. So, and we will have two meetings next week anyway. So.
So, Mr. Chair,
Senator Roebling.
If I would rather see the real property system get initiated with $2.5 million, I would vote against Senator Russ' motion at this moment.
Yes. Okay, is there discussion on Senator Russ' motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion prevails. I think we're there. Anything else that you want to discuss, members? We have like two bills on Monday, so it's going to be a relative. And these are bills that have fiscal implications, but they're not in our budget. And then we'll do the Secretary of State on Wednesday. We are trying to bring in somebody to talk about the drive to excellence to find, and they can tell us if there's any money to be saved in there or just what is really going on there from a fiscal standpoint, because we really don't have a handle on that. So, any questions? I do thank you for all the work and helping here. So if there's nothing further, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.